Well, it certainly is one of the best of American musical theater offerings. The name of the musical centers its life on stage, in the Heights. From its beginning night in Connecticut in 2005 to its 2008 Broadway production, the distinction of exceptional seems to follow this show wherever it goes. Lin-Manuel Miranda, creator of music and lyrics in the Heights, is better known perhaps as the creator of Hamilton on Broadway. And in his previous Tony Award winner, In the Heights, blossoms even greater in production at Muhlenberg Summer Musical Theater. I quote Muhlenberg marketing manager Scott Snyder. In the Heights tells the universal story of a vibrant community in New York's Washington Heights neighborhood, a place where the coffee from the counter bodega is light and sweet. The windows are always open, and the breeze carries the rhythm of three generations of music. Mm. It is a community on the brink of change, full of hopes, full of dreams, and full of pressures. Close quote. And so, in many ways, it remains the story of America's future today, of our own country, of our own life. This is WDIY 88.1 FM Allentown, and you are attuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today with director James Peck, professor of directing, performance studies, and theater history at Muhlenberg, and with Wilma Rivera, professional actress, first-generation American, and a 2009 Muhlenberg graduate. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the introduction, George.
That's beautiful.
No, it's great to have you guys here. Now, the show opens this week, yes?
Yeah, we preview Wednesday, and okay. We officially open on Friday, so it is coming right up.
It's running July 13th through the 31st. I don't want to get lost as we get talking because it's really important.
I'll remind you.
Really important. Beautiful show to get to see. And we were talking a little bit before the show about how, on the one hand, it is a beautiful show. It's a wonderful piece, award-winning piece. But it feels like there's a particular vibe around this particular production that resonates, that mirrors the show in some ways and also brings a lot of energy and joy to it. Would you like to talk a little bit about how it came to be on the Muhlenberg stage and what this has meant for some of the alumni and the graduates?
Sure, I'll start, and then, Wilma, you can jump in.
Absolutely.
The impetus for doing the show really came from Sammy Reyes, who's the choreographer. Sammy and I have worked together before. We did Spamalot a couple of years ago, a very joyous but also frivolous experience. And we were about 2 weeks into it, and Sammy turned to me and said, Jim, we should do In the Heights. Okay. And I was like, yeah, let's do In the Heights. And Sammy's the perfect choreographer from it. Mm-hmm. He is a hip-hop dancer and a hip-hop choreographer. The show, one strand of the show, is rooted in hip-hop. He is Puerto Rican and has got a really deep sense of the salsa, bachata, merengue rhythms that form one of the bases of the musical texture of the show, right. and his own life experiences line up in lots of ways that he talks about, you know, very eloquently with things that the characters have gone through. And so the chance for me to get to work with Sammy on a piece that I consider to be one of the great American works of art of the last 10 years mm-hmm. was just an incredibly joyous opportunity. And so he and I pitched it to Charlie Richter, who's the artistic director, and mm-hmm. Charlie was immediately enthusiastic about doing it. It didn't take any pressuring at all. He's just said, and this is how Charlie is. It's, if he likes something, he just goes for it right away. And he said, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And so then the casting call went out, and we have ended up casting 10 alums in the production.
That many?
Yeah. Okay. And mm-hmm. that is extraordinary. And mm-hmm. Maybe I can let Wilma talk about how she came to be part of the production others.
Yeah. So I, am a Muhlenberg alumni, class of 2009. Also a Dorothy and Dexter Baker Award recipient as
congrats,
well.
Yeah,
thank
great.
You. And I got an email from Muhlenberg College Theater Department announcing auditions for SMT, and I had never auditioned for an SMT show. I actually, in January, I actually don't consider myself a musical theater actor, even though my mother told the stage, like, Wilma, you've only done musicals. she's like, that's what you've been doing on stage. And I was like, that's not for me, Mom. I'm film and TV. And so this year in January, I was like, I'm going to focus on film and TV. That's what I'm meant to do, and I'm not going to do anything else. And then the casting call for In the Heights came out at Muhlenberg College. And
a
I was
weak
like,
moment.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is my dream show. And then my second question was, who's directing it? And I saw Jim Peck, and I was like, well, I would be stupid not to audition for this because I have – Jim does not know this, but I – love him. Like,
thank you.
From
I love you too.
Yeah, I love
it. Oh, it works out.
It does. It works out. I got to work with Jim my senior year on a production at Muhlenberg, and since that he knows how to talk to actors, and you know, being in the professional realm, it's hard to find a director who you can really be in your brain and allow you to explore and also support you and carry you there. And Jim just does that so well. So when I saw In the Heights and I saw Jim Peck, I had to come on audition for it at my alma mater. And, you know, I sent him an email and he was like, this makes me very happy. And it was a very...
You sort of sounded like me.
Yes.
When
and I could like imagine him saying that. And so I sent off my audition video and I came back for callbacks, and he asked me to audition for Carla and Camila. And Camila, who's Nina's mother, and I go, you want me to audition for Camila, Jim? And he was like, yes. I was like, okay. So I did, and I just, and I obviously am now here doing Camila, and it's just been such a pleasure, and it's just a no-brainer to work with Jim Peck. Like,
part of what's been great for me, and I have sort of said this to you, is that it's amazing when students come back. Like, Wilma was really good in college. She was really good, and to now see what she can do, whatever it is, 8 years later, with the continued professionalism and training and work, is she's become a great actress, right? And that's what you want from your students, is that they continue to grow and outpace you. And she's, we talked about the casting, because there are, you know, in some ways, she's a little too young for this role, but you would never know it on stage at all, right? And when I got her email, I thought to myself, oh, I'd love to work with Wilma, and she would be great, but Camila's really her role, not Carla, but is she too young? But then she killed it, right? And she's killing it now, and it completely works.
So will there be a return to television and film?
Of course. I think this is for me, this is just something, you know, this is for me, this is for the artistry. Yeah. This is for the soul, right? I needed to do this production.
I mean, theater is the base of our anxieties and our emotions.
Absolutely. 158%.
But part of why that, I'm imagining, it is so important, or such a gift to yourself. We were talking earlier, too, whether it's the Muhlenberg stage or what's available to performers in general, to have the opportunity to do a piece that you feel that speaks to a lot to your story, as a performer, be able to tell your stories and talk about the things that aren't available generally. I mean, at Muhlenberg, when you were there earlier as a student, did you have the opportunity to be in a piece?
No, I mean, in acting class, of course, you know, that was, I got to do that, but nothing is, right. I was, you know, gifted to do 4 main stage productions while I was at Muhlenberg, and they were all fantastic and wonderful, and I had such a great time, but was never able to do a Latin, you know, piece, mostly because we just didn't have that many Latino theater majors in one, you know, within a 4-year period to be able to do that. Right. And, you know, Gabe Martinez, who plays Usnavi, is a year below me. And so we were very close while we were students at Muhlenberg. And we'd always joke, like, maybe we'll be able to play Latinos one day. And I remember joking with Charlie once. He's like, when are you going to audition for a musical? I go, when you do West Side Story. and then he's doing In the Heights. So, I mean, we're doing In the Heights now. Yeah. So, and it's just, it is such an honor and a privilege to be playing a Latino woman on stage. And really, you know, and for me, it's not only just playing a Latino woman. It is. I am the voice of every Latina mother that has, you know, walked Camila's shoes. That has, you know, sorry, I get very emotional. That has, you know, worked really hard to get their kids through college. Mm-hmm. You know, and made sacrifices. You know, and my mother being one of those. And I know so many other mothers and fathers who have done that. And I think, you know, Camila and Kevin in the show, they are the voices of all of those parents. And, you know, Vanessa is the voice of that girl who, you know, wants to leave the hood, you know, and move wherever downtown. And, you know, Nina is the girl that went, I was a Nina, you know, that went off to college and felt like she failed, you know. And so not only is this show, you know, so important for me as an artist, but it's also important for other people who aren't artists but get to see their story being told as well. Because what Lin-Manuel does so beautifully in the book is it is an identifying piece. Anyone can walk out of that theater identifying with every single character that is on that stage.
Yes. Where are you from originally? Where did you come from before you went to Milburg?
I'm originally from Worcester, Massachusetts. My father is from Santiago de Cuba, and my mommy
first generation,
and my mommy is from Añasco, Puerto Rico. And my father, I don't know why he decided to start his legacy in Worcester, Massachusetts, the coldest place. this is where I will start my family. And that is where they met and born and raised. All of my family still lives there. I've got 22 first cousins, 24, you know, second cousins. We're a big old Puerto Rican family, and I'm the baby living in New York, you know, living my dreams. And they're also supportive and will be there in the last performance. I'm very excited.
So we know that the whole production is graced with all kinds of styles of Latino music. That's what we're interested in as well, not only the book, but the music as well.
Absolutely.
And the choreography. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. I can get started and Wilma can jump in. I would say there are kind of our three strands of music that weave around each other. Lin-Manuel Miranda grew up in a family that loved going to Broadway and had a household full of Broadway cast albums. Mm-hmm. And so there are beautiful, soaring ballads that feel like the best of pop rock Broadway scores. Mm-hmm. He also came of age in the 90s and was a New York hip-hop kid. And so East Coast 90s hip-hop looms very large. And if he's listening, I hope he'll forgive me for saying he's not the greatest singer, but he's a fantastic rapper. He's a good singer, but yes. He's not like an extraordinary singer. He's an extraordinary rapper.
Yeah.
And so for his own role, Usnavi, and then Hamilton that he's doing on Broadway, he writes himself these incredible rap tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the man just like, can freestyle like nobody's business. His facility with rhyme and lyric, I think he's certainly the best active Broadway lyricist for sure. And then there are a potpourri of Caribbean Latin American styles as well. So salsa looms very large, bachata, merengue, and the orchestration and that Caribbean syncopated Latin sound in the orchestration is present even when the songs don't really sort of line up lyrically or structurally with Latin music. Wilma sings a bolero, and so it's a beautiful kind of melange of styles that works like gangbusters.
Yeah, and I think too what's so beautiful about it and about musical theater too, like musical theater tells stories, right? When people can't find the words to say them, they sing it. And that's so much of Latino music and what it is. Like there's so much story and emotion in all those. And I mean, it's a no-brainer to put those two together. And what culturally Latinos, we flow through our music. Our music is really what makes us alive. Like if you're having a party, you can't have no music. And so what this show really brings together, what it means to be a Latino person when it comes to, you know, music and, you know, words and lyrics and the dancing, you know, I think, and the way Sammy has choreographed this is just outstanding. And yeah, I mean, it's true to our people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's great. Every part of this production in particular tells a story from the set to the music, to the ensemble members. Everyone has a story and it is being told so vibrantly and so presently in that moment, and not one detail has been spared. And that is just so beautiful with this production and with these people.
One of the things that's really lovely about the dancing is, one of the things Sammy will talk about is that hip-hop dance is rooted in experience, that the moves, the steps are abstractions of emotional and practical experiences that one goes through, you know, if you're living in an urban environment, and they're sort of artistic articulations of experience. And so he's done a really amazing job of creating just a poppin' dance score that's super hard to do, super sophisticated, but never feels like it's overtaking the narrative. It's at every moment it's serving the narrative and the emotional tenor of whatever that moment is.
Great.
It's really
wonderful.
Quite amazing.
We know the jazz vocalist, scholar, and activist Roberta Meek is also in the production. We'll talk about that. And Charles Isherwood, really, of New York Times, wrote this: when this musical erupts in one of its expressions of collective joy, the energy it gives off could light up the George Washington Bridge for at least a year or two. We shall return momentarily with more on the production of In the Heights, offered by Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater, right after this, you know, salient message.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
I'm sure that you have heard it before. The name of the production is In the Heights. It plays July 13th through the 31st at Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater, and performances take place actually in the Dorothy Hess Baker Theater in the Trexler Pavilion for the theater and dance. And we'll tell you why in just a minute. Showtimes are Wednesday through Saturday at 8, the normal curtain time, and Sunday is at 2. Jim, how about the theater that you're playing in,
the
Dorothy Hess Baker Theater?
Sure. One of the questions we were faced with when we decided we were going to do the production is which of our two big theaters we would do it in. The MP, as you both know, is a large house. It's great for shows that have a kind of epic sense to them and a grand sense of storytelling. And this show does. It played in Broadway in a very large house, and it certainly would fill that sort of space. But we decided to do it in the Baker, which is a more intimate space. And mm-hmm. we made that decision because the play, especially in the second act, goes quite deep and really deals with family drama and with families trying to work out how they're going to go forward together, how they're going to integrate their sense of identity, of ethnic identity, of place, mm-hmm. of what it is to be an immigrant family, and the ways that that creates particular kinds of bonds, mm-hmm. possibilities, and also particular kinds of pressures. Mm-hmm. And it really burrows much more deeply into that than a musical typically does. And in the Broadway production, which both Wilma and I saw and I think both loved, was a great, great production. Mm-hmm. The second act to me didn't feel like it quite came together. It felt a little bit distant, okay. and I felt like if we moved it into the smaller theater, when the play drops down, mm-hmm. right, sort of into the marrow of of the characters, that the audience would be right there with them, and that we'd really have the chance to see how meaningful these stories are. And I think it's paying off like crazy. Yeah. And I have to say, the casting is really just in every way paid off, and the actors are doing beautiful, beautiful work.
Well, we were saying earlier too, the book itself. We know mm-hmm. the manual, but the book itself is by another Pulitzer Prize winning
yes.
playwright. Actually, I mean, so yep. this is the quality of the storytelling,
absolutely.
The quality of the language and writing.
It's specific.
Is really
it's
rich.
Very direct and it's very detailed. And like Jim was saying earlier, that you really get everything is so fleshed out in yeah. those words, and they're very specific to the character. So doing, I know as an actor, being able to build Camila was very easy because it was already there. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. what her intentions and her motives were and her given circumstances and, you know, her objectives, all of that was already there. And it was, you know, Jim was just kind of like opening it up for us and giving us the opportunity to really build on top of that.
Right. Kiara Alegria Hudis wrote right. the book, who's a Puerto Rican playwright, Puerto Rican American from Philadelphia. And you know, Pulitzer Prize winner, Tony nominee, mm-hmm. and, you know, one of the premier working playwrights of her generation.
Mm-hmm. Roberta Meek is, Meek, I'm sorry, yes. stumbling here over the microphone. Roberta is a part of the of the production as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did she audition? I mean, really? Because it's a
Roberta is a will be known to lots of people in the Valley as an extraordinary jazz vocalist, mm-hmm. and also is head of Africana Studies. She's a professor at Muhlenberg. Teaches African American history, especially civil rights history,
mm-hmm.
and it was actually. One of the performers, Jakeem, who's playing Benny, approached Roberta and said, "You might want to think about this."
Mm.
And then Roberta approached me. Roberta and I are friendly, and said, "I think maybe I might like to do this."
Oh.
And I from the moment that happened, I was like, "Oh man, I'd love to have Roberta on stage playing this role."
Yes.
And she did audition, but she was sort of cast before she auditioned. it was more to fulfill the the formalities of how these things go, and just to make sure that it the role sat in her range and all of that. But she came in and sang for Ed and I.
So this is kind of lots 10 alumni coming back who have mm-hmm. moved on, who have professional lives, who are doing this. Roberta, who's there in another role, teaching, mm-hmm. Although
yeah, and Roberta's an alum as well. She's a Muhlenberg grad.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So does that give a certain, it's got to give us another layer of very special energy to all this.
Absolutely. I think being out in the professional world for I graduated in 2009, so whatever long that is, can't do math, totally fine. to this particular cast, I think, has really come together in a way that I hadn't experienced, especially a cast of this size. Mm-hmm. There's really a lot of family. We celebrated 4th of July together, like what they do in the show. Like we all got together. We were playing dominoes. We were dancing. And I made my first ever pernil, which is talked about in the show. It's actually a traditional pork shoulder that is, takes hours to make, and it came out really good. So, and it was like family. It really does feel that way. And I think, something that I kind of like to piggyback off of Jim as well is that I really truly feel that everything about this production is incredibly serendipitous. The fact that Jim is directing and Sammy's choreographing, and then Gabe and I were like, are you going to do this? Jim's directing. Are you going to do this? And I was like, of course I'm going to do this. And then, Gabe's fiance is playing Carla as well.
Okay.
So they were on a cruise ship together, and, Gabe got Usnavi, and that was just so exciting. And then Eric Thompson, who plays Piragua Guy, who I'm friends with too, and everything is so serendipitous with this show at this time on this stage. I think that this is such an important musical to have on the Muhlenberg stage. Like, this story is being told on that stage. And in this way, with these particular people who have really put this production together, and set looks amazing, and the lights look, just stop with the lights. They're amazing. and everything is being told so beautifully that I just think, why not? This is really going to, I think it's going to turn Lehigh Valley upside down. That's just me. I'm a little biased. But
no, we were saying earlier, there's quite a buzz.
Yeah.
And it's in a lovely, lovely way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you, I hope folks that are listening will come out. It is selling well. So I'm not just blowing smoke when I say get your tickets. I think we're going to sell every seat. I really genuinely think that.
Yeah.
And we were talking a little bit earlier, too, about design. It's fascinating to me, and I want you to talk a little bit about that, if you would, Jim. A very specific sense of creating a place, this neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and yet a sense of openness because it's bigger than just this neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, John Rayleigh, who's the set designer, is actually married to a woman who has an apartment in Washington Heights, and so he knows the neighborhood personally very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, Wilma was saying earlier, and I totally agree, I look at the set and the number of concrete specific details that speak to place as a kind of material culture, right? As not just set dressing, but as a way of people's expressing and articulating who they are and what their community is.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got just a remarkable eye for that. And what's fun about the set, one of the things that's fun about it is the shops down below. It takes place in three storefronts and on a stoop are the predominant locales.
Mm-hmm.
And those are rendered with a great deal of detail and concreteness. And then when you get up into the upper stories, which in New York would be looming apartment buildings, it becomes more skeletal and more abstract. And so it feels quite open.
Yeah.
And that's really needed for the heart of the piece, the soul of the piece, because although the characters have some challenges in mm-hmm. their lives, it's fundamentally a very optimistic show, mm-hmm. and it never feels like people aren't agents of their own lives, mm-hmm. right? They're choosing kind of what their future is going to be, and that's one of the things that the play is deeply about, right, is that people choosing their own destiny. Mm-hmm. And it really, with the kind of combination of concreteness but then spaciousness, it feels like the play can breathe.
Mm. Well, we have been talking with Jim Peck, the director and professor of directing at Muhlenberg, and with Wilma Rivera, professional actress, both of which are an integral part of In the Heights. In the Heights at Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater. You can find out more about it simply by going to muhlenberg.edu/SMT. SMT is Summer Music Theater. So you can find out more about it now. But we urge you to get your tickets now, playing through July 13th through the 31st at Muhlenberg. We are very honored that you were here, and we're very excited about the production. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Special thanks to our, oh yes, absolutely, here too. I mean, it really. Special thanks to our technical engineer, Steve Aronson, for his precisely joyful manipulation of the sound production quality of this show, and incidentally, our radio voices. Did I make myself clear there? Did I say it okay?
Did well.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Again.
Of course. Thank you, Wilma. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
Finding Dory is like being inside an aquarium. It's comforting and meditative. Talk about sleeping with the fishes. Not to worry, Finding Dory may make you want to scuba dive with the fishes. Compelling images, cute characters, and funny dialogue and situations will hold your attention. The 3D format for which Finding Dory was seen for this review creates amazing layers of visuals, including dappled sunlight reflections, ripples of water, and a dimensionality of computer animation heretofore not seen on the big screen. Thank you, Disney Pixar. What's most interesting about Finding Dory is that there's not much of a story, and much of it is told in flashback, and that's okay. Basically, in Finding Dory, Dory is trying to find her parents. Finding Dory co-directors Andrew Stanton, who directed WALL-E and Finding Nemo, and Angus McLean, who is animator on Toy Story 3 and Up and WALL-E, have created an extraordinary film of animation beauty based on a screenplay by Stanton and Victoria Strauss, who wrote the screenplay for New Best Friend, from a story by Stanton. Look for Finding Dory to be the front runner in the Oscar Animation Feature Film category. The voice talent is terrific. Ellen DeGeneres voices Dory, the blue tang fish with a short-term memory loss. Ed O'Neill, Hank the octopus, Marlin and Nemo, voiced by Albert Brooks and Hayden Rollins, and the voice talent of Ty Burrell, Caitlin Olson, Idris Elba, Dominic West, Eugene Levy, Diane Keaton, Kate McKinnon, Bill Hader, Sigourney Weaver, Allison Janney, and Austin Pendleton. The score by Thomas Newman is lovely. Finding Dory is one of the few theatrical movie releases so far this year that can be recommended for the entire family. It's really a gentle film with little or no double entendre, little or no violence, and an overall cheerful, upbeat, happy tone. Even the Marine Life Institute in Finding Dory seems to be controversy-free. Arrive on time from the animation short Piper, which precedes Finding Dory. Piper depicts a young sandpiper, a parent, and other critters during a day at the beach. Finding Dory is MPAA rated PG for some mild thematic elements. Opening July 15 are Ghostbusters. Paul Feig directs Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones in the female reboot 30 years after the science fiction comedy materialized on the big screen. The Infiltrator, Brad Furman directs Bryan Cranston, John Leguizamo, Diane Kruger, and Amy Ryan in the biography crime drama about a U.S. customs official investigating money laundering, allegedly by Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar. Cafe Society. Woody Allen directs Steve Carell, Cheryl Lee, Todd Weeks, and Paul Shackman in a romantic comedy about a 1930-era young Bronx native who falls in love with a Hollywood secretary.
I'm Paul Wollestein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.